When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back here on the Grom, John and Josh with you. Joey producing today as Nick has the week off. Welcome back. We've talked about the proposed settlement, some of the numbers leaking about revenue sharing in college sports, revenue sharing with the athletes, trying to figure out a way to somehow collectively bargain with the athletes without making the athletes employees. There's a lot of different things that have to come into play. But it sounds like there's certainly momentum moving in a direction. And the reason why there's momentum for a settlement is, quite frankly, the NCAA and its member schools don't want to go to another trial. This one probably being one of the biggest of all because it is challenging really everything at the heart of college sports. And listen, even the settlement is going to cost billions, but maybe not as much as if it actually went to trial. So there's been a lot of different things written about it recently. The Athletic was the latest to pipe in. Seth Emerson talking about the possibility of this settlement happening. And again, the idea is to revenue share somewhere between $20 and $25 million of revenues with all student athletes.
We talk about collectively bargaining. It's interesting how it's a number and not a percentage of the number that they are proposing right now. Because if I'm an athlete, I'm saying, whoa. Why are we getting 20 to 25 million? Shouldn't it be blank percentage? Because as the television revenue goes up, if their number stays the same, I mean, in a way, it's a similar problem that we've been talking about for years.
The other part of it, too, is you're talking about all league revenues. You know, when you talk about the NBA, for example, they essentially have a 50-50 split. The CBA, you know, the players get 50% of league revenues. And that's basically how the salary cap is determined.
Yeah, so if the television revenues go up, then the salary cap also goes up.
Correct. In this case, you've got so many different entities in different conferences making much different bank, right? Ohio State, Nebraska is going to make a lot more TV revenue than Cal, Stanford, you know, and those types of schools.
Yeah.
And so $20 million of revenue sharing to an Ohio State might be 10% of their total take. At Nebraska, it might be 18 to 20% of their total take. At some of these other schools, it might be closer to 50. It might be closer to 50% of their total take based on their TV. And this is based on TV numbers, not the reason they came to this number as part of the settlement is they basically looked at it as an average across the board for everybody. But the other part of this is it's an opt-in. Not everyone would be required to do this. You have the option to do it, but you're not required to do it. In the NFL, Dallas doesn't have an option. They have to do it, just like the Giants do, just like the Packers do.
Because everybody does. Yeah, Seth Emerson, a couple things that he wrote that stood out to me on The Athletic today. A vibe shift within the industry is coming to a head this spring. After so much time complaining about and fighting the changes wrought by name, image, and likeness freedoms in the transfer portal, it appears, emphasis on appears, that college leaders have reached a new stage, accepting their new normal and seeking actual, realistic solutions. Later on in the story, he wrote that NCAA President Charlie Baker is regarded as a positive force in these moves, and there is buzz among coaches and staffers that a specific change Baker has advocated for could be coming soon. That's the option for schools to bring their NIL affiliates in-house, directly paying players for the exclusive rights. That change would allow schools to supplement what athletes get through revenue sharing, paying them a certain amount for appearing on the cover of a season ticket, for example. One more thing that he said that stood out to me, John. This is Seth Emerson again. Power conference commissioners have been willing to engage, and not just the most powerful two, per multiple sources within the industry. The Big Ten and SEC may be the two richest conferences, but they haven't been the sole driving force toward a settlement. College presidents generally were the most reluctant, but during the past year, there has been, as one official put it, an evolution in thinking. And he ran through the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of the L's that they have taken in recent years. A couple of them, not even really related to the Supreme Court, but some of the stuff that has happened inside of states. The multi-transfer rule that essentially was what struck down, whichever verbiage we want to use. That was one of the reasons that has kind of led them to this spot of, we keep losing these, so we might as well embrace it. We might as well move forward with this.
Here's my question, because obviously it's you know, NIL and transfer portal have always been this tag team of terror to a lot of people
for the last few years,
in college athletics.
Since 2021, we're coming upon the 3-year anniversary in 2 months.
This settlement, and it was, we described it as much yesterday. There were people inside of college sports. Jack Schwarber from Notre Dame said, you know, if we could just collectively bargain with the players, a lot of these problems go away. And there's some truth to it. But the problem that would go away are the court cases, or at least a lot of the court cases.
Yeah, it introduces new problems.
But, and it might, it doesn't necessarily, if NIL is broken, doesn't necessarily fix NIL, because NIL is still going to exist. But here's my next question. Is it really going to do anything for the transfer portal?
Well, if you can collectively bargain in-house payments, aka contracts, that is when it changes, because you would seemingly be able to do multi-year deals, right?
Well, that we don't know.
So that's what, they want. They will want that.
They will want that, but it's not really been talked about as part of this.
I feel like it's so unspoken, though, because, I mean, I guess for me, I view that as an obvious thing that they want to fix. Everything that is happening right now, what is the biggest issue that the coaches have? I think it is the freedom of movement, and I guess I would also add in the tampering that happens to cause freedom of movement. So, if you collectively bargain lack of freedom of movement, or at the very least, your scholarship contract. I mean, like, John, I think that we are moving in a direction where what you originally put together to the T won't happen, but something like it will. That's what they want. I don't think that they care if you leave after 1 year, as long as they know that it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And right now they do know it's a possibility and they're frightened all the time. But if you sign a 3-year deal and they don't have to re-recruit you every year, I think that that would solve so many of their issues.
I agree with you. It hasn't really been talked about. Because right now, they're just trying to stave off court cases. So if that is something that could be on the table, then yes, this settlement could address the transfer portal. But on its face, it doesn't. And the other tricky wicket is, can you collectively bargain with a group without declaring them employees? Which is what the NCAA and its member schools are trying to absolutely avoid.
And
to some degree, there's not a lot of, not that, you know, a lot of athletes have opined on this, but those that have been surveyed or people who claim to advocate for them say is, we don't really want to be employees either.
Well, and that's
because there's a lot of disadvantages to that. It's better to be, you know, contracted without having to pay benefits and all of the other things that come with full-time employees.
And then on top of that, who are you bargaining with? Are you bargaining with the whole sport? Are you bargaining with the conference? Or are you bargaining all the way down to the teams? Those are all way different things. You know, the sport as a whole, I mean, in theory, it would solve a lot of problems. It also seems like the most difficult option.
Yeah.
Because that is, for now, it's 130-some-odd schools for football, not to mention all the other sports. You know, you go down to conferences, it's a smaller number, but then everybody's doing their own thing again. And that problem, I would say, is exacerbated if you just go with the schools themselves.
So will it fix all the problems? Probably not. Will it fix two of the major problems? I don't know. Jury's out.
Mm-hmm.
Jury's out on this. Will it stop lawsuits from happening? Because that's really the thing that's holding everything up. It seems like every time a guardrail tries to be put up, or old ones,
old ones are coming down.
Old ones are getting barreled over like sadly, like tornadoes, been knocking things down lately. Coming up, it is the happy hour. Ryan Kalkbrenner does not know Twitter. Also,
that's okay.
News on new streaming services.
Oh.
And we have content, and we have Adrian Martinez.
Nice.
UFL star and...
UFL superstar.
Yes.
Superstar.
He's my vote for UFL player of the year.
He's got mine. I don't have one, but he would have mine.
I bet The Rock is really excited about him.
You think so?
We'll have to ask him if he's met The Rock.
Has The Rock called him and congratulated him on his touchdown passes?
I know that The Rock was in the booth for one of his games. I saw some highlights of Adrian, and he was...
Do you smell what Adrian is cooking?
Yeah.
Another touchdown
Adrian
pass.
Adrian is cooking right now. We'll talk to Adrian next hour as well. It is the happy hour on a Thursday. This is Unsportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.